Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents This Is How You Vagina, All About Your Vajayjay, and Why You Probably Shouldn't Call It That, by Nicole E. Williams, M.D., narrated by Michelle Williams. Publisher's Note: This audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit tantor.com and type This Is How You Vagina into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page, then under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code LEARNING, and then click the Unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. This book is intended as a reference volume only, not as a medical manual. The information given here is designed to help you make informed decisions about your health. It is not intended as a substitute for any treatment that may have been prescribed by your doctor. If you suspect that you have a medical problem, you should seek competent medical help. You should not begin a new health regimen without first consulting a medical professional. My vagina's angry. It is. It's pissed off. My vagina's furious and it needs to talk. It needs to talk about all this shit. It needs to talk to you. I mean, what's the deal? An army of people out there thinking up ways to torture my poor-ass, gentle, loving vagina, spending their days constructing psycho products and nasty ideas to undermine my pussy. Vagina, motherfuckers. The Vagina Monologues. What is a vagina other than me? Is it sad? Is it angry? Does it bleed? What is a vagina other than myself? Is she happy? Does she experience joy? Has she, like me, been put down, ignored, berated? Has she, like me, ever cried? What is a vagina other than me? Let's see. Forward. Not long ago, I received a phone call from a younger physician, a gynecologist, who told me that she had written a book all about the vagina. She also told me that when she was a child in the 1990s, she had held me up as a role model, someone to emulate, someone to learn from, and she wanted my critique of her work. Since we are members of the same sorority, Delta Sigma Theta, I thought I would be willing to, and I was. That physician was Dr. Nicole Williams. Her book, This Is How You Vagina, is an important addition to the realm of women's health information for the layperson. Given my extensive experience and years in public health, having been the director of public health for the state of Arkansas and the Surgeon General of the United States, I find it of the utmost importance that women be educated on their bodies, their function, and even malfunction. Unfortunately, there is so much misinformation in the lay media that patients find it difficult to determine what is truth and what is fallacy. I believe that the way that Dr. Williams treats the subject, taking an historical bend and weaving it into physiology and present-day reality, is refreshing, fascinating, and informative. All too often, we do not recognize each person's innate sexuality as being an important part of their humanity. This phenomenon starts at puberty and progresses into adulthood. And it is this non-recognition that adds to the anxieties, particularly around sex, that women suffer from daily. When a natural part of our body can be seen or perceived as diseased and disgusting, it is no wonder that we are unable to fully embrace our bodies and ourselves in every way possible. After having read This Is How You Vagina, I am heartened that the ability to confront and discuss difficult topics regarding women's sexuality and women's health has not been lost. This book is very clearly written and provides an abundance of useful information for adolescents, childbearing age women, and mature or elderly women. The information is comprehensive, concrete, and accurate, and vital for women to make informed decisions about their sexual and reproductive health. It is an excellent resource for women who have questions about their bodies and are perhaps too embarrassed to ask. Dr. Williams is a fresh new voice in the debate on women's health, and it is my sincere hope that many others will read, listen, and join in the conversation. M. Joycelyn Elders, M.D., former Surgeon General of the United States of America, Professor Emerita at the University of Arkansas School of Medicine, author of From Sharecropper's Daughter to Surgeon General of the United States of America. Introduction. Please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Dr. Nicole Williams, and I am a gynecologist. I am also female. The combination of my own vagina experience paired with scientific and anatomical knowledge gives me the insight to be able to help you, my fellow vagina owners, learn to treat yours right. Beginning in middle school, my friends and I started to hear the rumors. We're not quite sure exactly where or how they started, but they seemed to materialize sometime after eighth grade. We had this mysterious body part that smelled bad. You couldn't see it very well. It got hairy. It bled practically every month. And on top of it all, there was discharge. Ugh. It was no wonder that when I went to medical school, I was excited to learn the truth about my vagina, the truth about the form and function of our anatomy and physiology. But no, that didn't happen. In graduate school, I received practically the same canned knowledge I could have gotten from Judy Blume. In my work today as a gynecologist, the most common complaints and issues my patients come to me with were utterly absent from my medical school studies, which were conservative, unempowering, and downright boring. When I graduated, I could rattle off each of the prohormones, enzymes, molecules, and other minute interactions involved in the function of the vagina and its parts. But her true nature did not reveal herself to me until years later. After completing my residency in obstetrics and gynecology, I started really talking to patients and learning about their concerns. I realized that their perceptions of their own vaginas were colored by those same middle school rumors that I had heard growing up. I am the daughter of teachers, and I have always understood the value of a proper education and the dangers of misinformation. It is important that we, as vagina owners, understand her fully, embrace her in all her glory, and love her as she is. And that is what I aim to help you do. So, what is the vagina? The number of words for vagina is honestly astounding. Beaver, cunt, glory hole, concha, hole, taco, bitch, bearded clam, biscacho, box, crack, pepita, cherry, fanny, bucket pucha, gash, meat curtains, snooch, merkin, cookie, mossy cleft, muff, quim, bean, budenda, honeypot, love canal, toto, guebo, peach, punani, man-eater, carpet, puss, yoni, kitty, pussy, minge, puntang, slit, vag, krika, la cosa loca, camel toe, miko, slut, trim, cha-cha, vajayjay, putz, labamba, cunny, fur burger, veriga, snatch, grumble, nether regions, twat, papaya, squeeze box, sperm sucker, mound. This list is far from exhaustive, and as there are innumerable names for the vagina, there are also endless myths and misinformation about this most fascinating organ. Did you know it was once thought that the vagina was simply an inside-out penis? That there were ancient cultures who thought that some vaginas actually had biting teeth? I would hazard to say that some of these beliefs came from the whole biblical Adam's rib / fallen Eve thing, with women being simply a version of a man, or having body parts that could literally bite men. Note that one of the slang terms for vagina is man-eater. Many of my patients, both young and old, have presented to me on various occasions some of their vagina misinterpretations as fact. When I see a new patient, I tell them to think of me like a plumber or a priest and tell me all. And they do. I've heard that if you squat over a steaming pot of herbs, your period symptoms will get better and your vagina will be detoxified. I've been told that little green eggs can help regulate pH. I've had patients tell me they douche or pee after sex so they won't get pregnant or get a UTI. You don't have to do either of these. I was motivated to write this book to dispel the cacophony of misinformation from nearly everywhere these days, including the internet, magazines, peers, and even in some schools, about this most important functioning organ, the vagina. I distinctly recall participating in a seminar where the educator advocated for the daily use of panty liners, sleeping in underwear, and not using tampons to an audience of rapt 10 to 12-year-olds, curious and attentive. As opposed to waging an outright war, though I wanted to, I kept my cool and advised that each girl talk to her pediatrician. If this is the type of thinking that is being disseminated to preteens today, it's no wonder my adult patients are confused. Listening to my patients ask me the same questions every day, over and over again, got me thinking. How can I best inform my patients about their wonderful vaginas without lecturing them? I pored over hundreds of articles, books, and websites, many of which were either overly technical or overly simplified, and I thought, let's make this better. How can I make the vagina understandable and accessible without talking down to my very intelligent patients? How can I write a book that you can go through beginning to end, explaining with science but not putting you to sleep? Here is my effort. Hope it worked. 1. Greetings. I'm your vagina. Consider me your friendly neighborhood vagina doctor. Me. The vagina is a fascinating organ. It is not just a hole or some chasm or abyss of never-ending space. You can't get lost in there. It is a real, functioning organ, with receptors and the means to communicate with its environment unlike any other. It serves a very particular purpose, a unique one in humanity. It serves as both a sexual and functioning organ, able to give us indescribable pleasure during sex and allow enough stretch for the birth of a human child. It is a truly spectacular entity, in that it actually works quite well in both capacities. I am always amazed at how it can give way to a 6-pound baby, yet still maintain an erogenous zone capable of facilitating mind-blowing orgasms. What other organ in all the world can do such a thing? She is special, and just over half the world has one. What does she look like? You may have already noticed, but in this book, we will use the term vagina to represent the entirety of female genitalia, given that many don't recognize or understand the term vulva. The vagina is actually the part of the female genitalia that is inside a woman's body, and the vulva includes those parts that exist on the outside of the body. But for clarity's sake, we will refer to the whole of female genitalia collectively as the vagina. Although there is wide anatomical variation, the length of the unaroused vagina of a woman of childbearing age is about 2.5 to 3 inches across the front and 3.5 inches long across the rear. She starts at the cervix, the bottom of the uterus, and ends at the hymen, or introitus, the opening of the vagina. The opening of the vagina is somewhat smaller in diameter than the top, near the cervix. If you are looking at the vagina from the top down, you can see there is a series of ligaments and fascia that hold her in place. The support system of the vaginal walls causes the opening of the vagina to often look like an H shape at the opening. This turns into a convex smiley face shape close to the top near the uterus. Although there have been plenty of studies about the sizes and shapes of male genitalia, there have been very few for women. However, according to research we do have, A few MRI studies from the late 1990s and early to mid-2000s, the vagina can take a few different internal shapes. All of these shapes are normal anatomical variations of each other. Parallel-sided, H-shape, heart-shaped, conical, pumpkin seed, slug-shaped. Lengthwise, the vagina generally follows a gentle sloping angle that leads to the uterus. This canal is where your tampon or menstrual cup is held in place, and the lack of direct nerve endings, meaning no clitoral nerve parts, in this part of the vagina is why you can't feel things once they have been properly placed. With arousal, the vagina can expand in both length and width in order to accommodate nearly any penis. In fact, the vagina can expand up to 200% during sexual arousal. So no, he's never too big for you. According to MRI studies, the conical vagina shape seems to be the most common. Most vaginas have three generalized zones. The first is more like a sphincter. This is where you find muscular support and where those muscles can spasm and cause pain during sex. The second zone is a wedge-shaped transitional zone, and the third is deeper and more expanded, where the vagina angles to meet the uterus. Where is she, anyway? The vagina is located between the openings of your urethra and anus, and she is usually the most prominent in those three, anatomically speaking. To see the vagina, hold a mirror there. It may be easiest to lie on your back to do this, and open the labia with your fingers. The urethra, the opening for urine, is also between these labia. It is a slit-like opening positioned above the vagina. Externally, you may see little pink finger-like projections around the opening of your vagina. This is normal. If you've already had sex, this is the remnant of the hymen, which partially covered the vaginal opening until some type of penetration may have caused it to break. If the hymen is still intact, you most likely will not be able to fully see the opening, but you may see the pink membrane of the hymen at the bottom of the vagina. It's okay to touch it. You should. You can't hurt it with just a finger. In fact, even if you've never had sex, it may already have a little tear, and this is completely okay. In a little over 50% of young women, the hymen has already been torn before engaging in penetrative sex the first time. While you're looking, check out the perineum. That's the area between your vagina and anus. Squeeze the muscles surrounding the area a few times. It's like making a fist with your vagina. Watch what happens. Cool, right? Now that's power. That is what's known as a Kegel exercise. The very small hole you see at the top, the urethra, is where urine is released. It's pretty hard to see, and I have had more than one medical student try to put a catheter in the vagina to drain urine. So if you don't see it, that's okay. If you urinate, then you can safely assume you have one. The vagina lives right under the bladder and supports the bladder base. What's she made of? Let's move on to what the vagina looks like on a cellular level. Inside our body, the vagina is a fibromuscular tube, muscular being the key part of that term. This makes sense for a few reasons. One, muscles allow for involuntary vaginal contractions post-orgasm, which can help keep semen inside and close to the top of the vagina so sperm can easily gain access to the uterus through the cervix for fertilization. Two, muscles can help with expansion and contraction of the vagina during and after childbirth. The epithelium lines the opening, or lumen, of the vagina. It is covered by epithelial or outer cells. These type of cells are very similar to other mucous membranes, such as the mouth or rectum, and similar in color, reddish pink. The epithelium serves to protect, expand, and provide moisture. When supported by estrogen, it makes the vagina scrunch into folds called rugae. which allows for expansion and lubrication and aids in sexual pleasure, allowing a penis to move freely in and out. The lamina propria is rich in elastic fibers. This is the portion of the vagina that allows for stretching to accommodate nearly any sized penis during arousal and aids in expansion for childbirth. The smooth muscle layer is inside the lamina propria. Unlike a biceps or a triceps muscle, which have striated or straight fibers, smooth muscle is more disordered, meaning the muscle fibers go in many different directions. This special construct is quite helpful in overall vaginal function. In fact, the uterus is also made up of smooth muscle. The bladder has some too. In addition, tiny bits of smooth muscle surround the intestines to move food and major blood vessels to move blood. This particular type of muscle maintains what's called a resting tone to keep the shape of hollow organs, such as the uterus, vagina, and bladder. When smooth muscle contracts, it is an involuntary movement triggered by nerve impulses that travel to the smooth muscle tissue, like that after an orgasm. The disorderly arrangement of cells within smooth muscle tissue allows for contraction and relaxation with great elasticity. This is especially useful for an organ that often must double in size over the course of minutes or hours. Your vagina also contains collagen, a special type of protein. While there are about 28 different types of collagen found in the human body, your vagina contains what is called fibrillar collagen, which comes in different types. Type 1 fibrillar collagen is the most common type of collagen in the human body and helps to provide the three-dimensional framework that builds our bodies, including our vaginas. While your vagina contains mainly type 3, another fibrillar collagen that forms smaller, more flexible, distensible tissue, your vagina also contains a fair amount of type 1 collagen. To explain how strong your vagina is, know that type 1 collagen has a greater tensile strength than steel. Try mentioning that at your next dinner party. How does she lubricate? Now that we know what your vagina is made of, let's delve a little deeper into how she works. Oftentimes, my patient's biggest complaint is vaginal discharge. Fortunately, most discharge is normal. Normal vaginal fluid is primarily composed of water, protein, and generally healthy bacteria, primarily lactobacilli. Where does this water come from? It comes from what's called a transudate. What is a transudate? It is a filtrate of blood that allows for a bit of leakage of water and protein through the tissue and into the vagina, therefore keeping a supply of moisture that can ebb and flow according to many factors, sexual stimulation included. What about bacteria? You may be thinking, ew, but I say not ew, but ah. Bacteria are everywhere on and inside our bodies. They are found in our mouths, intestines, skin, and all mucous membranes. The vagina is no exception, and for the most part, these bacteria are symbiotic and overall quite helpful. The types of bacteria vary depending on location. The predominant bacteria in the vagina is called lactobacilli. Interestingly, lactobacilli is also found in a healthy intestinal tract. Coincidence? I think not. Healthy gut, healthy vagina. Other bacteria commonly identified in the normal vaginal microbiome include several Staphylococcus species, along with ureaplasma, cornibacterium, streptococcus, peptostreptococcus, gardnerella, bacteroides, mycoplasma, enterococcus, escherichia, veonella, bifidobacterium, and candida. Yes, candida. You might assume that the presence of any candida means you have a yeast infection, but it's actually okay if you have a few strands of it. It's when the balance of bacteria is disturbed that problems can occur. The vagina is colonized with bacteria within hours of a baby girl's birth and remains as such until death. At puberty, vaginal estrogen levels increase. This results in an increase in lactobacilli. Lactobacilli sticks to the vaginal walls to help keep her healthy and promote healthy sexual function. It is a friendly type of bacteria that works to tamp down harmful bacteria invaders in the vagina by producing antimicrobial compounds such as hydrogen peroxide and lactic acid. This also lowers the vaginal pH, which helps kill unhealthy sperm, only allowing the best and strongest through her gates. See how beautifully this works? But what about the clitoris? Now that we have an inkling of vaginal anatomy, the clitoris deserves an anatomy and physiology lesson all by herself. George Ludwig Kobelt, a 19th century German anatomist, was possibly the first who thought so. In his Die männlichen und weiblichen Wollustorgane der Menschen und einiger Säugetiere, The Male and Female Organs of Sexual Arousal in Man and Some Other Mammals, published in 1844, he featured the first comprehensive anatomical dissection and drawing of the anatomy of the clitoris known to date. For comparison, the first version of Gray's Anatomy, published in the United States in 1859, depicted the female anatomy without the clitoris at all. It took more than 100 years to get a detailed picture of the organ and learn that there is much more to the clitoris than meets the eye. Even though the clitoris was pictured in later versions of anatomy books, we didn't have a complete picture of the organ until the 1990s with the help of MRI. MRI allowed us to visualize living women as opposed to cadavers to attempt to fully understand this overlooked and understudied neurovascular bundle. Since then, much more has been discovered about the complexity of the organ and its relationship to the vagina and urethra. In fact, modern, since the early 2000s, anatomy books have had to be rewritten to underscore and emphasize the marvelously complicated clitoris. First of all, the clitoris is much larger than most of us think. You might imagine this tiny little button just barely peeking out from under its protective hood, but that is literally just the tip of the iceberg. The clitoris travels far and wide in the vaginal complex. Imagine you are looking at a woman from her feet with her lying on her back. The clitoris sits immediately above the opening of the vagina. You may notice that the clitoris looks fairly similar to the glands and body of the penis. The names are similar because they are developmentally similar. The glands, crura, and bulb essentially match male anatomy, except in one thing, the nerves. The female clitoris has twice as many nerve endings as the penis. The nerves of the clitoris come from where all our nerves do, the spinal cord. So let's follow the nerves. From the very bottom of your tailbone comes the pudendal nerve. That nerve branches out to feed everything in the lower half of your body. The clitoral and peroneal neurovascular bundles are where you find the nerve endings, paired terminations of the pudendal neurovascular bundles. However, the branch that forms the clitoris seems to be different. There is an intimate connection between the nerves and the surrounding erectile tissue, tissue capable of behavior similar to an erection, called the bulbs. These bulbs are spongy in character and are connected to the urethra, crura, and corpora to form what is called the root of the clitoris. Interestingly, we have yet to determine the exact function of the bulbs in urethral and sexual function. What we do know through MRI is that the bulbs seen on either side of the urethra continue to the front portion of the urethra and meet in the middle. It took a while, but anatomy doctors finally agreed that these bulbs are not actually part of the urethra, but are related to the clitoris. Where the bulbs and body meet at the top of the vagina might provide evidence of the G-spot. Now that we know a bit more about the basic anatomy and physiology of the vagina, let's take a look at how she is represented in history. Did you know? Both sharks and vaginas make the same lubricant. It's called squalene. 2. Vaginas, a brief history. I've tried everything. Garlic, yogurt, everything.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?